The first thing he noticed was how tall she was, almost as tall as him. She had fine features and big dark eyes and wore a puffy purple parka over jeans and knee-high Sorel boots. Just a fringe of brown hair stuck from under her navy watch cap. From the snowflakes still melting on top of the hat, he guessed she hadn't been waiting long. "So," he thought, "this is you." She stepped back and held him by the elbows. "You look different," she said. "I am different," he said without thinking. "I have a brain injury." Her grin flickered, but she steadied it. "I meant your hair," she said, tugging softly at a loose curl. "It's longer than I remember." He tucked the strand behind his ear. "Oh," he said. "Yeah, I guess I kind of let it go." She led him through the terminal, asking easy stuff like, "How was your flight?" "Just a 6-hour party in the sky," he said. "Plus an hour layover in Denver. On this last connection, the guy next to me took his shoes off. I think he was smuggling onions in there." A little scar dimpled on her chin as she smiled at him. It felt like a physical thing in his chest. He reminded himself, "Be normal. Make small talk." The truth was, this had been Matthew's first day of commercial travel since getting out of the Army. Back in August, the military had issued him a new uniform for his trip home, a full kit of camis still stiff and creased from the bag, the dome of the patrol hat not yet wilted and crusted with sweat. At every stop, people came up to shake his hand and thank him for his service. Their faces were eager, all trying to do a nice thing for him, but none taking the time to notice how damaged he was. They couldn't tell his head was pounding and the itchy new uniform made him want to squirm out of his own skin. Today's trip had been the opposite. It had been sunny and 77 degrees when his mom dropped him at the airport in Fort Myers. Nobody had looked twice at him all day. In his civilian clothes, he moved easily through security and boarding gates. Just a regular guy flying home for Christmas. No reason to notice him in the rush of holiday travelers. Now, here he was, on the ground in Montana, in the town where he'd spent the first 23 years of the life he no longer remembered. They whooshed out through the airport's automatic doors and a gust of wind cut him to the bone. It was dark and hard little snowflakes blew by his face. He zipped his jacket to his chin and clamped a hand on his hat to keep it from flying off. Georgie laughed. "Kind of different than Florida?" she asked. "Little bit," he said. Before the trip, he'd gone online to buy himself some warm clothes. He'd picked out a billed farmer's hat, a red and black plaid parka, jeans, and sturdy boots. Now he realized they weren't good enough. The cold hung on him like a chain around his neck as they walked across the parking lot. Georgie's truck was a Chevy S10, painted the distinctive mint green of an old Forest Service vehicle. Matthew could still see where they'd scraped the words "Park Ranger" off the side doors. Inside, the plastic seats leaked chunky orange stuffing, but the engine fired up when she cranked the key.